I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Scandalized by Ivy Owens. Are you ready? Okay, so naturally, I just reread this book, right? I'm sure you did too, in order
to... We do our homework.
Yes, we do our homework. I read this book a while ago. I gotta say, I totally forgot how hot this book is. I'm just gonna say that right off the bat. I'm gonna come out there and say it. There is so much in this book.
The spicy scenes are off the chart. Like, there is, I don't even know how many highlights I have in this book. Like, it's on my Kindle. I have a Kindle copy. So it's like highlight. Like, bookmark.
I have all of my my tabs.
Oh, yeah.
All the pink.
Yeah.
The sex.
Your book is heavily tabbed.
Literally, like, I ran out of pink tabs while I'm kidding. I said to you before,
I can't do another sex scene. I don't have any more pink tabs.
I got no pink tabs. I feel like I said to you before, I felt like I needed like a cigarette after this book. Like, it's just like,
not that we condone that, but it gives you that.
You're like, I mean, oh, and I did notice,
I mean,
there is a content warning. Yeah.
There is. I appreciate that. You know, not every author does that.
No, I kind of wish more of them did.
Yeah. And I think it's becoming more common. And I have heard there's a particularly well-known author that I've heard that they don't do it because it can kind of give away some of the storyline in the book. Like, this is going to happen at some point in the book. But I think the value of having those there for people that need them outweighs that.
I agree. Sorry. That was like,
so I love that.
But yeah.
It's great.
She opened it up and was like, oh yeah. Mm.
Yeah. She starts the book with that. And I think it's great.
Yes, I do too. But yeah, back to the sex. So anyway, I mean, there's just so it just gets right into it. What page is
it? It kicks right in there. It reminds me a little bit of at the beginning of The Stopover.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because it's people, like, you know, their flight is canceled. They have to go to a hotel for the night. But it's instead of like strangers connecting in that one, it's in this one. It's like, wait a sec. Do I know you? Wait, I do know you. reconnect over that.
Yeah. I realized that's, I think, my favorite trope is when it's like, you know, childhood friends that now, or friends that now turn. Yeah, I think it may be
yes,
my favorite.
And sure. Like, not necessarily second chance romance. Like, they didn't necessarily like date, but they just knew each other when they were young. And then,
yeah,
yes, I love it too.
I do love it. And I mean, she did. You know, she knew Alexander Kim was Alec.
Oh yeah, she noticed him way back when.
Oh yeah, but. Mm-hmm. You know, then maybe he didn't notice. I mean, I get it. What did he say? There's like a 7
he's like 6 or 7 years. Yeah. And she was like his little sister's friend.
Exactly.
And doesn't he say at some point, he says, you know, I'm used to thinking of you of like as a little girl, as my sister's friend. I'm not used to like seeing you like this. And he's like gestures to her figure, you know.
Yeah.
He has to like readjust in his brain who she is.
Yeah. But he like, boom, goes for it. Like, he's like, you. Like, they literally fall super quick. And I love that he is not afraid to speak what's on his mind.
No.
You know, compared to some of the male.
He's very like, he's an emotionally well-adjusted and emotionally intelligent man, but he's also not afraid. Yeah, he communicates. What a novel idea.
imagine that.
But he's also not afraid, and nor is she, to speak their minds sexually and like what they want. And, you know,
which
it's just
there's even hotter.
Yeah. Well, there's one part. Remember when they're doing, it's a phone sex thing. So he's coming out of meetings. He has to like on his end be like, I'm very excited about this collaboration. What part did you see me play? Things like that. And she's like, during that, she says something like, I don't usually talk during sex, you know? But I was like, you got over that pretty quick.
Yes. Yes.
Because they definitely communicate throughout. But some of the stuff he says, I was like, whoo, I'm blushing a little.
Oh, I feel like I definitely.
Like, you're wet down to your knees and look at, you know?
I feel like I definitely was several shades of red while we're all reading this book. And I love how, I mean, again, like his, I love how he's, you said it before, he's like, what is this sex? Like, I like love that one line because I feel like that's him being like, this is so good. Like, I just
love, I mean, I think it blows them both away. Like, yes. Yeah, it's,
and I love that he didn't, what I love that's different from him that I feel like we haven't really seen in other books is normally I feel like our male characters shy away. Like they're nervous. What is this? Oh, I don't know. You know what
right,
I mean?
And right. Like, right. Scared of what this might mean. And
yes. And he is not that way. He's like, and again, he's like a movie star, you know, or yep. show star.
Yep. You know, both. I think it sounds both, like yes. he did movies and now he's doing a show.
Yes. Which I also love that she didn't even know that. She reminds me of me because I don't pay attention to like shows.
I totally thought of you.
Did you? I'd be like, oh, I have no idea that you're this famous celebrity that's plastered on all these teenagers.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, he's like, he's gotten famous. He was famous in Korea, right? Like right. he was in K-dramas and stuff. Yeah, and then BBC in London. Like, it's just not really, it's not stuff she's seen. And so like in retrospect, she thinks about it. You know, she's not super into the pop culture and whatever anyway, because she's been sort of obsessed with her career for a while.
Right.
Very serious track, you know, no time for the pop culture. But yeah. It works out perfectly that sort of the things he's done are not things she would naturally see, yes. except in retrospect when she's like, oh, wait, there was all those posters yeah. when I was in London. But she was so focused on the job that she was, everything else was kind of, you know, glazed yes. out around her.
Yes. Yes.
But I liked it because it was believable. I thought I believed her that she wouldn't have known him. Like I wouldn't know, you know, I watch some BBC, but there's dozens of BBC shows that yeah. I've never seen and I might not recognize someone from. And certainly the same for K-drama. So I would literally I bought it.
I mean, yeah. I probably wouldn't even know most shows that are on
now
TV here. Yeah, literally. Yeah. I'm always like, I'm the one who would probably just walk right by a celebrity in the airport and like not even know that that's who it is. I also just, I don't watch many movies, like whereas my husband is totally into like every movie. I don't watch many shows. I just don't. So unless you're yeah. on Outlander, The Last Kingdom, or Yellowstone, I probably don't know who you are. Like, you know what I mean? So that's like where I stop. But yeah, like I love, it was just genuine. Like, and
yeah, which is what he needed, I think, yes, right?
Exactly. Like they said that they just kind of needed that like no strings attached kind of night, but then both realized, okay, this, like, I think there's that one line in the book where he's like, I think we both knew this wasn't just like a, like from the start that this wasn't yeah. just sex, you know, like
right she time. And she's like, yeah, she knows it too, but she's sort of been lying to herself because yeah. if she admits that there's more to this, then she's like, well, wait a sec, but then we only have 2 weeks and what's right. that gonna feel like? And so yeah. she's sort of been trying to tell herself it's just,
but she just got out of a bad
yeah, like a 6-year bad relationship. Yeah. She's only been out of it for 6
she's
months.
Not really looking and for anything.
No. Yeah. Which is, yeah. you know, sometimes when it happens. And I think it's also what he needs in the sense that, like, he is this commodity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And so where is he going to, like, the odds that he's going to meet someone who doesn't recognize him in sight from the work that he's done. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, like, related to other, you know, famous people.
Yeah.
The odds that they're going to, like, fall in love with and marry a fan just seems really... really minimal to me. Like they it might be someone who knows them and knows of their work, but like, you know, a fan, like a, you know, fan
yeah,
girl
like,
fan.
I just imagine.
Think that would be really intense for them.
Like, can you imagine? I mean, I'm going to call him out because we both love him, Sam Heughan.
Yeah.
Just imagine yeah, that's like, one of his conferences. yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, he's not just going to like point. I mean, we can dream, but he's not going to just point and be like, you there.
You.
You're crazy in the crowd, like fan, you know, fangirling over me, but I want to take you out on a date.
Yeah.
Like,
do you want to go for dinner?
No. We can hope, but that's not.
Yeah. Him. Because, you know, like Alex sort of verbalizes here, it's like he wants to know Alec. I'm not going to speak for Sam Heughan. Alec wants someone who like isn't seeing him as like, you know what it is? It's like the idea of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like those words aren't used, but the same kind of concept is like someone who, you know what it is? There's a beautiful quote when she brings him over to meet Eden And they have that great night where they're like, you know, playing drinking games. And
I loved that scene.
And Eden is like a total fangirl.
Yes.
She is so like he walks in the door and she like
she's like
turns around and like walks to her bedroom. She's like, I can't even. I cannot even.
Yeah.
But it's really they end up having so much fun. And there's this line that Gigi thinks. Here it is. I have got it here. So she's just smiling at them. Can't stop smiling because they're getting along so well, like these her best friend and her, you know, will be her forever love. She recognizes that they're peas in the pod and she says, I'm watching her forget for longer and longer bites of time who she thinks he is while she's in the company of who he really is. Mm-hmm. I think this is a moment I will remember for the entire rest of my life. No matter what happens after this, I will file tonight under happiness.
I love that.
It's just lovely. That's what you want, right? You want like they're like, you know, they're even forming their own jokes, like keeping her out of them, like renaming each other. Like, what is it? Frank and Lucy. She's like, I can't even think of you as Alexander Kim.
Yeah.
You're my roommate's friend, Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love it. He again, like he's the one who kind of initiates that whole right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But isn't he just like, I'm going to come back to your apartment. Like,
I love that. He's even like, can Frank order some pizza for Gigi's friend Lucy?
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, let's hang out.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. He just like, it was just, I loved that whole scene. It felt like he needed that normalcy too. I'm obviously, I am not, a star. So I don't know. I can't imagine what that would be like, but I would kind of imagine that you just want some normalcy. That was a special scene.
Well, and he tells, you know, this is an extension of it, but like what he tells Gigi near the beginning when he's like, it takes him a while to like really believe that she does not, like she knows him as Alec Kim, her.
Yeah. And she's mad when she figures it out.
She's mad, like, but like he's like a little, you know, when they make comments in the bar about like, you know, him skateboarding or playing the piano. And these are sort of things he's done professionally. He's like, kind of makes these faces, you know, like, really, you don't like, which she recognizes in retrospect.
Yes.
But he says something to her about like, you know, just promise me no matter what happens after this, like we have this and remember what this feels like. And like, he knows and he knows something's going to change when she realizes, but also this is what he needed. He needed someone who is liking him for his real self and not for what they think that he is.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she gets mad when she figures out.
Really mad. She feels like deceived, which is not really what he was trying to do. He really was just, and he even says like, if I had told you, you know, it would have been a bit, it would have changed things right away. Not that she's the kind of person that would go weird over it, but they wouldn't have just been getting to know each other. It would have been like, well, tell me about your shows. And wow, that's weird.
You're
you know, it just would have changed things.
Exactly. Exactly. So, So Ivy Owens, as we now know, is Lauren from Christina Lauren, who
Lauren Billings.
We love
Christina Lauren. Okay.
So I knew this book was going to be phenomenal, but I honestly hope we see more from her because compared to the Christina Lauren books that we know and love, which are also spicy, this book I feel like was so different in the spice factor. Don't you think?
It was intensified. And I've heard people say that it's very similar to very early CeeLo books.
Oh, you know what? I haven't read those. So like, I feel like you told me these series.
Yeah, maybe. So there's the series, the seasons.
Yeah,
There's like Dark Wild Night, and I love those ones. I've read those ones, and I've actually just started reading Beautiful Bastard, which I think I think that might be their first one together.
I feel like that's the one that I heard was spicy.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool actually. I it's been on my Kindle for a while, but you know how your TBR just like gets out of control, and like sometimes the newer ones
and
kind
I hate
of
how
get
Kindle
in the way of
me
going through your back.
Yeah.
Your back catalog.
But I hate how Kindle makes me like return some to get more.
Oh, for the unlimited. Yeah.
Yeah. And I get, there's certain books that I just physically don't want to remove from, you know what I mean?
Right. So yes.
I hear you. And then
So I've just started reading that one. So we'll touch base again when I'm done and decide. But yeah, that's the feedback that I've heard, is that this one is, the steamy factor is more similar to their early work together.
I mean,
which is like, that's what, over 10 or 12 years ago, I think they've been writing together.
Yeah.
A long time.
I have read several of their books. I obviously not.
Yeah, I've read a bunch.
All of them. And I love.
No, they have like 28.
I love every single one I've read. Yeah. So, but yeah, this was just like, I mean, again, like, I think it just caught me off guard. I was like, whoa, we're getting right into this. And oh my gosh, and they were long. It wasn't like, you know, short little paragraphs. No. It was going on for pages. Oh. I'm like, whoa.
Alec Kim is a master of like drawing it out.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he
is. You know, like holding himself back.
Yeah.
And like letting her go again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And then like, till he finally goes over the edge. Like, it's, their first scene together, the first sex scene we get, what they have two encounters that first night on the like layover or the, while their plane's delayed. The first one, they don't even, it's not even intercourse. It's like just touching.
Yeah.
Third base.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I think they make a comment of that. Like, wow, we didn't even like, you know, but
make it past first day for the, yeah. But then they like sleep for a while and then they get back at it. And oh man, that first one.
Whew,
where he's like flipping her around.
You know, so I was going to actually text you, because I feel like anytime, not just this book, anytime I read a scene, it's like I'm trying to envision all the flipping. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, how's that working? And then I'm like sitting there like, oh, and then I usually have to go back and like reread it to make sure, like in my head,
works. Do we need to give you like a Kama Sutra, and then like you can be like, okay, they're in like number 37.
I don't know.
Now they're
there's sometimes where I'm like, I don't know if my body would do that. You
know what I mean? Well, it's quite likely that our bodies wouldn't do what a 19-year-old would do anymore.
I know. But, I know.
Let's not.
These people are in their 20s. About them. But
yes, they are. Well, he's 30. Three, I want to say.
Oh, okay. It's not too far.
But we know he's in very, very good shape. That is
very
well described.
Yes. And I love I will say, I feel like the sex from that between
the sex
brings out, like, I think they say it, she says it a few times, like basically like they bring out a side of themselves that like they just have
is unusual
with other people. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. They not only sexually, but even like when they go on their beach day and she's like, it was so natural. Like I handed my purse and he put it in the bag and then I opened the trunk. And, you know, it's just like they act together like people who've been together for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just is like natural. She's like, I'm kissing someone who kisses the way I like to be kissed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like everything happens so naturally that I think it's just, there's no awkwardness. None whatsoever.
Literally,
like even from the start.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that helps because they're both just like doing things the way they like to do to someone, the way they like things done to themselves. You know, it's just happening like that, which is just a magical thing when you find it. Do you remember like from like their very first kiss? I highlighted this because I was like, oh, some of these lines that she wrote. I like this one. He tastes like whiskey, which, you know, that's always going to win me over. When
he
tastes like whiskey and kisses like he's already fucking with growl and heat.
Yeah. Yep.
And then she thinks like the hard press of him between my legs and how wet I am and how it's going to be all over his clothes.
Yes. Ooh. That's what I mean. Like just those lines, you're like, ah, damn. Okay.
Yeah.
My goodness. All right. It's just.
Yep. 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 they kind of want to consume each other, you know, but not like.
Yes.
She says at one point, like, I want this man to take me apart piece by piece with his hands and mouth and cock. Like, it just, I want all of him. And she, one time when she's in the heat of it, when he's like really drawing it out for her, she's, what does she say? Like,
I
want everything in me now. Like, however, do anything. Like, just
do it. Yeah. Yes. But in a way, like, I mean, I guess this is going to sound a little strange because these are like very dirty scenes, but in a way they're very beautifully written. Like
weird at all. And I totally agree.
Yeah. Like I like how she wrote it like that because you really are like in her head and in that moment. Right. Cause Gigi's our, you know, our, what's the word I'm looking for? Point. That's whose point of view.
It's her point of view. Yeah.
Yes. So, but like you're really,
and it's like, and it's written first person. She's like,
you really are like in her head in those scenes with, you know what I mean? Like processing everything with her. I don't know. It's just, she did a great job.
She did a great job. And you know what I like is, okay, so I can't only speak for myself because I've only ever been inside my own brain. But, you know, when you read a book and when a book is, where the sex scenes are filtered, that can really, that can work and it can make sense, right? But when a book is written in the first person like this, I find it hard to think, like, I can get on board with, like, you don't, you're not comfortable saying certain things out loud or whatever. But like when someone is thinking in their own head and they're using like really weird euphemisms for body parts and things like that, I'm like, is that really how you like think in your own head?
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
You know, so the fact that she is like just unfiltered and real, and sometimes there's cursing and sometimes there's, you know what I mean? It's just like, that's how I think in my head.
Yeah. Like, I don't think we got my sex at all in this book, did we?
I do not think so.
No, we got it. So I know what you mean. Like, I'm not thinking in my head, touch my sex. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No. Yes. So I get what you're saying. No, it's very unfiltered and very, and just like raw for lack
but,
of a better.
But not crass.
No, right? Not crass. No.
Yeah. Exactly. It's this perfect balance of writing it in like a very, like you say, raw, non-filtered way, but it's not crass. It's not gross. It's not pornographic. No, not at all. It's not like, it's really written beautifully. Like the prose of the writing is beautiful. No, it doesn't matter whether it's sex scene or not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she really, that's what I mean. I really hope we get more from Ivy because I read this so long ago, so I'm glad we are talking about it and I had to reread it because it's like, I think I got this.
You got an advanced copy, right?
I think I got an advanced copy of it. So, I mean, we're talking.
It was in summer, I think, right?
Yeah.
Summer?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I've read so many books since then, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I was like, I forgot the, like, just how good it was. So I'm glad that I had to reread it. It really is phenomenal.
You had to. What a chore we had to read.
We had this beautiful tough life over here, you know. But I also just, again, like, I like how it ends. His character stays. Yes, they had, like I said, you know, there's always like that third act breakup, but here there's like some devastating stuff that happens and some really messy stuff. But again, like he knew what he wanted. She did too, right? And even though they had that like short little blip, like it wasn't, it's like they came right back around. I just genuinely loved the whole
story. And communicated through it.
Yes, which is
like she was so more upset funny. There. Like, yeah,
like when she turned the bat
when it happened,
on, right? Like she turned the bat phone on. Eden like put it in the drawer and was like,
"Yeah, yeah,
it's here, you know, I just in case." And then she turns it on, and all of a sudden, like all these messages start coming through. And he had been messaging her the whole time, you know, and she,
didn't realize.
Like, oh, like yeah, that, and that's her. I was like, "You are such a great guy, Alex."
Yeah. And she was like, we could have been going through this together all weekend, whereas she had gone to her parents and was like suffering by herself. Mm-hmm. They could have been working through it together, which is what she tells him. Like, that's what I wanted. You know, when he calls her and he's like, you got to pack your stuff. You got to get out of the hotel. And she's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know, it all happens so quickly and they just never, she doesn't understand. They don't have a way to talk about it. And then she feels dismissed because of that phone call after. But when he comes back, he explains himself, right? And she explains herself also. Like, he's mad, upset, whatever, that she had taken out their story out of the article she wrote. And she has very good reasons. And I love how it kind of really goes through like her internal dilemma of deciding whether to include their info or not. And she decides not to include it because she thinks she's protecting them. Yeah. It actually turns out worse for that. Yes. But but once she can explain it, like he appreciates that she's protecting, because it's also described to us that Alec does nothing but protect his family.
Right.
And Gigi realizes that she's like the one person who can like take care of herself, and he doesn't have to do that with her. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things he likes about her, values about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because right from the start, she kind of blows him away with the fact that she's been in London, like researching this. You know, at the time, we don't know how much he knows about it, but
right.
we find out later he does know more than he said right then.
Yeah.
So the fact that she would take on a story like that and be tackling those kind of characters and putting herself potentially at risk.
It's heavy. Yeah, it's a heavy.
Yeah, I think that kind of shows him what kind of a strong person she is.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I just...
So yeah, they're both able to apologize when they do something that hurts the other.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? He apologizes for not telling her communication, who he is. And yeah.
The communication, there's a lot of maturity because again, even, you know, what happens, right? Like, so even she didn't post a story, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not, there's no immaturity in this book in that sense, right? Like they're just very mature in their actions and how they go about handling things. Wouldn't you say?
I think it helps that they're, you know, she's late 20s, he's early 30s, you know, they're not newbies at this, right? Like,
yeah.
He does say there's some surprising things about them, you know, like he's never had a one night stand before. He's never had sex without a condom before. She's expecting that he's like this player based on, yeah. you know, him being very popular. And that's not at all the case. So they're experienced in some ways, you know, he's established in his career and has success. She's more fledgling in her career in terms of the success, but has worked very hard for a number of years and is getting to that point now. I just think they're at that point in their lives where they're ready for each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that whole thing, my husband and I talk about this because when we got together, like actually started dating, we put things together and realized there had been multiple occasions over the previous number of years. We had known each other casually, like through work for 5 years or so, maybe even a bit more. And there were all these times where like weird coincidences, like places we were both at the same time that we shouldn't have been, and like people we knew in common.
Cool.
And like, so it's like ways we could have come together sooner, but we didn't. And I'm so glad we didn't because it was the right place. It was the right time for us. So at that time, it was like, oh, isn't that funny? Like all those things, it's kind of like gives you that destiny sort of feel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think when it happened for us, that was the right time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we both needed to go through other things till we were ready for that.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, maybe because a lot of the other books I've read recently are, the characters are younger.
Right.
I mean, that's not to say someone in there, I mean, again, listen, I was married at 23. I, you know, like it doesn't mean I was super mature, but you know what I mean? Like,
I started dating my husband at 23. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, it was just, it's just refreshing after some of the books that I've read. Again, like they communicate well, they're mature. It just was really beautifully written. I hope if she does write any more, like I don't know if what her plans are, but I would love to see like a future them in like an Eden book or something. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I would love
to I really love Eden. I would love to see that too. Yeah, we've already talked about, we love Christina Lauren.
Yeah.
So I hope they continue producing together for as long as that works.
Oh, I think they for sure will.
But I imagine it must be fun as well to do a little side project, you know, and just try something new.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm open to more work from both of them, however they want to do it. I think this one shows, like, you can tell, you know, some like the quality of voice that she contributes to Christina Lauren books is here too, right? Like we've talked so many times about her style of writing. Like I have this sentence highlighted because it's just tiny little things like this that kind of stick in my brain. Mm-hmm. So where they're talking to, they've just decided that she's going to start staying in his suite. So they can spend as much time together until he has to go back to London. So Gigi thinks, we can't commit to anything beyond this, but we've committed to this much at least. Temporary cohabitation, but indefinite infatuation.
Isn't
that so nice? I just love these, like a tiny little turn of phrase.
Yeah, and you know, Christina Lauren books, when they write together, I mean, they're like the Unhoneymooners. It's laughing. You know, like all their books are very funny, or even like Something Wilder. We both read that recently. Mm-hmm. I mean, that book was a riot. So this one, I wouldn't say was funny like that, right?
There was little moments that made me laugh. Like there was little things, you know?
Yeah.
But
so it's just, yes, I think it was nice to just see this side of her. I really loved it. So you might remember, I actually got to meet her
when.
Yes.
Yeah, which was really cool.
There's a picture on our page of you meeting.
There is a picture on our page. I'm with Christina and Lauren.
That Christina was and Lauren and Lauren.
Yes, Christina and Lauren. Lauren. That was before
we
knew that this was coming out. Yeah, but
yes,
she was just so sweet in person. I just have to say, they were so sweet to me. I was honored to even get to go and chat with them beforehand, and they were great. So I just love, I don't know. I hope we see more of Ivy.
I hope we see more. Yes. And, you know, I love when authors do multiple books, but they're sort of, you know, in the worlds are overlapping. So it's either, you know, multiple brothers or best friends. And now we get to hear about this friend, whatever. I'd like to see more of a lot of them. There was characters, side characters in here that intrigued me that we got very little of. Like, for example, I don't think we'll see a book about them, but we might get more of them in the background, is Gigi's parents. I was actually really struck by how they were described. Like, it's very sort of on the periphery, but very supportive. Like, I was like, oh man, like there's that scene where, you know, it's the classic, like where we think it's a third act breakup and she goes home for that weekend where she doesn't know he's trying to reach her. And it's like Eden and her mom, like, bring her to the couch, tuck her all in, food is produced. And like, they just, and she thinks to herself, you know, we did this 6 months ago, like when she broke up with Spence. Yeah. But, you know, the fact that she has her mom on one side of her and her best friend on the other. And she thinks at one point, being with mom is like recharging my battery. She's the version of adult me I hope to meet someday. Responsible, loving, but not so responsible and loving that she won't fuck shit up if the situation warrants.
I was like, that's,
that's the mom I want to be.
Yeah, that's the mom I want to be.
And then there's like, you know, Sunny. You know, we see very, very little of Sunny, but like her relationship with, Yale.
Yeah.
Alex's assistant, you know, the two of them having their, you know, we find out that Yale's been in love with Sunny for many years. We don't know if anything's happened there, but then when they come together to Gigi's apartment, you know, they kind of, it's clear that something that they're together now, but we don't know how that happened. We don't know where that's going to go from here, you know? So more of a book, even if they're not the central characters, it just, you know, if they're around in the periphery, it's like a extended epilogue.
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I'd love to see Eden in a book and like, and then, but also know kind of what's going on with everyone else, you know? So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. I love that she did give us an epilogue here. You know, that's one thing that I'm definitely a sucker for.
Me too.
Because I don't just want, you know, we know when we're signing up for a romance, we know that they're promising us a happily ever after. We don't know how exactly they're going to get there. We know from the beginning, like it's going to be this person and this person. There's not usually a big surprise third romantic character entrance. We know kind of like who it is and where we're going to end, but we don't know the journey in between. But I like to see that, like, you know, it's not that like the curtain closes on that final kiss and it's happily ever after. It's like, okay, let's go, like, you know, 1 year later. And we find out in this book that after, what is it, a year later or so, you know, she describes the difficulty that they're, you know, she's still trying to work. She gets these amazing jobs because of the, you know, how everything turned out with her article. Right. He's getting amazing work as well. They're sort of trying to meet up all over the world and it's really difficult that they do that for a year. And then she ends up getting this new project where she starts writing about soulmates and how, like, unlikely, that's sort of like me and my husband, actually. It's like when people like sort of come together, the right, it even says all the love stories are touched by the same magic, right place, right time. Mm-hmm. So she writes a book compiling those letters and interviews. She ends up on the bestseller list. Alec wins an Oscar. They move in together, like, what, a couple of days? What is it? I'm just trying to scan the epilogue now. 2 weeks before their wedding, they move in together. You know, it's like this beautiful, like, package at the end where we find out everything that's happened with them over this time. Yeah. And my very favorite part of the epilogue is the very last line, because he, you know, is helping the movers, like, arrange the sofa in their new living room, whatever, and sees her, like, coming towards the house. And he runs out, hugs her in the middle of the street, and says, finally, he says, resting his lips on mine, it begins.
Yeah. I
just
love
the fact that a story ends with it begins.
It begins. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I was like, oh, all my romantic bones are very tickled and happy by that.
Yeah. I mean, in so many parts in this book too, you know, like it was definitely like you close the book and you're like, damn, that was good. You know,
it was good.
Wouldn't you say? So
I would definitely say. Yeah. I'm happy. So I read this on release day, the day that it came out. I think I devoured it in one sitting.
Oh, yeah. I read it real fast.
That's and this second time through, I was like, it was just as delightful, just as steamy. I'm going to read it a few more times.
Yeah. No, for
sure. I know that's going to happen. And, you know, even like the things, the stuff, we don't need to talk about it, but the stuff that the trigger warning is for, the content warning is for, the news article that she's writing, we find out that Alex's sister has unfortunately been assaulted and is involved in this stuff. It was treated really respectfully and beautifully. Agree. Like there, nothing happened on the page. Yes. It's all like, you know, being talked about off screen, off page.
And telling her story, which is important. Yeah. But yes, I agree with you there. I appreciate she put that trigger warning, but I will say it was just, it was nice that it, nice, I guess is the word, you know, but like I have read some books where it's in the moment and it's hard to read that. Right.
It's very hard.
Even just like flashback, you know, things like that. So this made it, a little, what I, how
removed it's like, it's a little removed from your,
that's presence. Probably the best way to explain it. But I appreciate that they also, the point was to get her story out there. You know, she Sunny wanted to share that story, you know,
so, and she took control of that, right? Like she comes to Gigi and is like, you know, like let's fuck some shit up. Let's like make some noise. Let's like, And she ends up publishing the article, in Vanity Fair after her paper that she wrote the initial article for dropped her.
Yes.
And her editor didn't stick up for her. So it's like I think she says afterwards she entertained tons of job offers, including one from them, which she very politely declined.
Yes.
Like, you know, they didn't go to bat for you before.
Yep.
And she even contrasts it with how when the controversy broke that Alex, like Netflix and BBC, they made a statement and stood up for him. And she's like, my paper could have done that for me. They didn't.
Yeah, and they didn't. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So women having their say,
and
being supported in that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Strong women. Right. Like she didn't go running back to the paper, you know, like she was upset that she lost her job, but also recognized that wasn't right. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a lot of strong women in this book. And I love that.
Yep. Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And a strong man too, you know, like Alec is great. So just lots of strong.
He really is the only male character, isn't he?
You got Billy. But again,
I guess, but he's kind of a dick. And then he's nice enough until he isn't. And then there's the jerkos. They're not really in the story, but the guys that are doing the bad stuff. And you know that I did actually hear that this was inspired by a true story that happened.
Really?
In Korea, there was a club where this was happening. Burning Sun, I think it was called, and a lot of there was like pop stars and actors and stuff like implicated in it as well. Like, Becky stuff.
Yeah, that's gross.
But you know, if you're the girl who breaks the story, what is that like? And what responsibility must that feel like too?
Right. Right.
To give a voice to all these people who may not even know what happened to them, or they know and, you know, don't know how to do anything about it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But yes, as we said, it's at least you're a little removed from it. So you're not reading such, you know, I think that the one author that you had mentioned, you didn't name the name, but I think I know who it is you're talking about because I struggled to read some of the stuff in there. So what else? I mean, I feel like we covered all of it. I mean, I just think, again, I have so many pink little notes on here with all of those steamy scenes.
Yep. And I made little notes too of, I really appreciated the tiny little pop culture references in there.
I was like, pop culture.
Yeah. When she was like, they turned on John Oliver. I was like, I watched John Oliver last night. And then it was like the Trevor Noah was like the moderator for the panel thing that they did. And I was like, I watch Trevor Noah almost every week. And
I do not know who either of those two people are.
Shut the front door.
I told you. I am the girl who literally doesn't know. I don't pay attention to it. I don't.
I know, but they're more like, do you know who Jon Stewart is?
Yes.
Okay. So they're like Jon Stewart. So Jon Stewart used to have a show called The Daily Show, which was on the Comedy Network, but it was like it was real news. So Trevor Noah now has The Daily Show.
Got it.
And then John Oliver was like a correspondent on The Daily Show with Stephen Colbert was another one.
Okay,
they were all like, so they're all kind of the same kind of like they take, you know, real current events and try to actually make a difference, but they do it in a sort of a comedic way.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so you know what?
I love those
guys.
Recognize
him. Okay, okay. I'm Googling now. My husband would know who this is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I recognize his face. I just I don't.
Those are like the two shows my husband and I almost always watch. Like almost every night we'll watch, like either The Daily Show or Jon Stewart. It does have a new show, so we rotate between Trevor Noah, John Oliver.
Yeah, I don't watch any of that. That's what I mean. I probably have walked by in JFK Airport multiple people that I just wouldn't have recognized. I'm not even kidding.
Well, that's good for them because I'm sure they don't want to be recognized.
Right. I literally recognize no one. I just wouldn't. I don't know.
Katrina Balfe, maybe?
I'd recognize her.
Recognize her.
Obviously. Yeah. Scotlander. But I just, I don't know. Like, I'm not a big movie and TV person. I read instead.
So, yeah. No, that's okay.
You know, but
okay. So when we're reading a book like this and then there's a name where it's like, oh, this seems like they're talking about a famous person, you can just text me and I'll be like, okay, this is who that is.
Okay. I'll do that. I guess that's my husband too. I know.
Yeah. You could do that.
I just mentioned something else the other day. It was probably another movie. It's just like a running joke that I do not know like any movies.
And so have you seen Office Space, the one that they watch in here?
Yes, I have seen.
Okay, well, there you go.
I have seen Office Space. I don't. I can't remember what one we had chatted about before, and he was like, "Oh my God, Lauren!" He's like, I don't know how I married you with your lack of movie knowledge. Like, he's like, we said one night we were just gonna have like a marathon of all the movies that I've never watched, but I'm pretty sure
that's impossible.
Yes,
because it would last a year
forever. It would last forever because there's just so many movies I haven't watched.
Yeah, there's the part where they're at that fan event. You know, and they're sort of in the backstage and they feel a little, Gigi feels a little out of place. And it's a weird experience for her. But Eden loves it. And she's like, you know, she's super fangirling.
Yeah.
And they talk about like who the other actors are that are in the show with Alec. So she talks about that there's a famous Doctor Who actor in there. There's a bombshell from the blockbuster DC superhero franchise. It's like, so in my head, she doesn't name them, but in my head, I'm like, that could be this person. That could be this person.
Never saw them. I haven't seen any of the.
You would know like Wonder Woman.
I mean, I know.
Not even like an ad or anything.
I know the characters, but I don't know who plays them.
Okay. Okay. I'm telling you. Well, this is one of the rare books where I didn't actually insert, like, I don't really have a good physical picture of. I didn't put like a celebrity or something into the place of Gigi and Alec, right?
I couldn't either. Yeah.
Yeah. I think but when it was. Though. Oh no, I actually really like that. But but when it was like this, I was like, okay, so which Doctor Who actor do I think would be in a BBC drama? I think it would be this one. And which bombshell from DC might be in? I think it would be this one.
I see. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just picturing her being in a room with these people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to see, you know, the part where he like grabs her from the event and they're in. Yep. A room, and he makes a comment. Oh, I have that actually. I have that whole page, that whole paragraph.
Oh, marked. The correspondence dinner where they're like, they're there, but they're not there together.
Yes.
And so and Yale he comes and brings her room. To a room.
Yeah. Yes. And then he was like, look at you. Like, and he turns them around in the mirror and like, she's just, and like
all the Alex and
Gigi's. Wow, we look good together. Yeah. Yeah. But he said that. I actually have that whole thing marked. When he said, when she said, oh yeah, it's that part where he's like, are you not looking? And, you know, he's like, there are beautiful, she's like, there are beautiful women everywhere. That isn't why you feel this way about me. And then he literally like, you know, he doesn't hesitate and he's like, okay. And then says like, everything. I'm aware you're genuinely amazing. You went to London to chase on a story you saw on a random Twitter feed, you know, your boyfriend lied to you for a year and you had the strength to cut him out. Like, you know, and he literally like goes, yes. You're funny, you're vulnerable, you're honest. You don't stare at your reflection in a mirror unless I point it out to you. Like all these things. And, oh, you know where
this
I came
from?
This
is what I love about you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who I was before I became Alexander Kim, you know, all of that. And I was just like, oh gosh, you're just like, you know, Alex, he's just like, he does. That's what I mean. He doesn't hesitate to be like, here's why I love you. Now, he doesn't say mm-hmm. I love you there, but you know what I'm saying?
No, but you know, it's like, they both feel it by then. Yeah. There, he's confident in himself, mm-hmm. but he's not cocky.
No. No.
Right. Like he knows he's and she too. She's like, I'm confident with the way I look, but I understand like there's, you have all this choice yeah. out there.
Right.
When we were talking about the little, you know, how much humor is in there and stuff, I really appreciated the humor that is in here because there's just some little, like very subtle things, you know, like when they are first getting together in the hotel and he's trying to get her to spend the night because he has a whole extra room. She has nowhere else to go. And he's like, besides, you're a journalist. Isn't this how a great story begins? And she's like, what kind of stories do you think I write? Stuck in a strange city. There's only one room left at the inn. I don't write for Penthouse.
Yes.
And then she says something like, but seriously, if I'm going to your room, I insist on using the pullout.
Yeah.
And then she like clocks into what she said. She's like, I mean, yeah. She's like, I meant, you know, the couch, not the method. Yeah. You know, like there's just tiny little, those are like that's more like the comedic moments. They're little subtle lines like that. And I really like them.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, loved this book.
You know what the steam level reminded me of? I probably need to reread it, but some of the scenes anyway reminded me a little bit of a Reverse. Like
Harem?
No. Reverse, the book Reverse.
Oh, I thought you were, I've got Reverse
like on their wedding night and stuff, you know, the way the description, the way it's described and that their connection is like beyond anything either of them has noticed before. And like, I don't know, there's just some kind of that quality to it that I really liked about both.
Speaking of, we still need to podcast that book.
We do.
Another good one.
I really loved this book. I really, it's a debut that isn't a debut.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure this is her first, like her only published one on her own. I know they both used to write fanfic. Right. So I know that she's written before on her own, but I think it's the first published one on her own. But of course, she's an established author with 28 books or something under her belt. So it had that feel of like you thought it was before we knew Ivy was Lauren. It has the freshness of a debut, but it's also like it's just done so well that her experience speaks through.
I also love in her acknowledgments, she said, I had zero expectations that the Word doc I was calling side piece up until like 5 minutes ago would turn into an actual book. I sent it to my agent with this is really steamy, but maybe could be a thing email. And she didn't even blink that I put this entire manuscript out of nowhere into her inbox during the biggest dumpster fire portion of the pandemic. You know,
yeah. I love that she used that time to produce this.
Yes. Yeah.
We've talked so much about how the pandemic has changed so many people's lives in different ways, and positive and negative. Right. But to use that kind of opportunity where you're like stuck at home, you know, I use that in a different but similar way, right? It's like when you're stuck at home, there's nothing you can do, you channel your energy somewhere, right? And the pandemic in that way, I had some really wonderful things come out of it too, including our relationship.
Yeah. And I love, I feel like we've chatted so many books that were written during the pandemic for that reason, right? I can think like Every Summer After, that's when she wrote, that's when
I can think of a few for sure.
Yeah. Yep. And
and now the ones are coming out, a lot of books are referring to the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which that's I'm finding is a new interesting thing.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. I just think it's great that again,
people were able to be creative.
During a time where it was kind of really shitty. You know what I mean? But like, at least we got this out of it. So, you know,
the silver linings.
Yeah. The silver linings. I absolutely love this one. So good. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you've read it as well. And we have a little surprise coming. But that's all I'm going to say.
That's all we'll say? Okay. That's all
if
we'll
it doesn't
say.
Go we through, have we'll have our editor cut that out. just depends on if it goes through. So stay tuned.
Fingers crossed.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Cool. All right.
All right.
I'm going to
love it.
You're going to
love it too. You know, I was drinking while we were recording this one.
Oh, oh. What
do you something have I've never had before.
Well, that looks fun.
So this is soju, which is apparently the best-selling alcohol in the world.
Really?
And have you ever heard of it before?
No.
It's a Korean spirit. Ooh. So I thought it very much fit
like
the theme of the book. This one's peach. It comes in lots of different flavors. It's like a, you know, it's sort of like compare it to sake or something.
Oh, okay.
You
know? But is it good?
But it's Korean. It's really tasty. I quite like it. So thanks to for the opportunity to introduce a new thing to my alcohol cabinet.
I'm drinking a protein shake. It's
I wouldn't have ever tried to look for this before. Say that again.
Said I'm drinking a protein shake. It's not nearly as exciting as that.
Well, you're 3 hours ahead of me. I'm still like, it's you know, very early evening.
I'm
here,
very tired. I was muffling my yawn as we record this one. It's all good. It's all good.
Okay.
All right.
You got to go to bed because I'm going to see you again in the morning.
Yes, for this thing we're hoping is going to happen. But if you don't already, you can follow us over on Instagram. We would absolutely love if you left us a review of our podcast, followed us, subscribed on all of your podcast streaming devices, join our Patreon group.
Share with anybody else that you think would like it.
Anyone else who loves books. We are always taking recommendations, so you can absolutely drop us a note over on our Instagram or our email or our SpeakPipe and tell us what books you guys want us to read next. We've got several that we're really excited to share, but again, the beauty of books is there's always great ones coming out. So
there's so many
never ending, so many options. So that's all for now. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll chat with you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.